Hello and welcome to the Catbird Speaks, the podcast for the Catbird Seat blog, the White Sox affiliate for the ESPN Sweet Spot Network. In Arizona, I am Matt Adams, joined today by James Fegan in Elkhart, Indiana, as always.
Are you just like stepping over all my lines? I can't even, wait, I guess I just say hello? Hello!
Hello will suffice, and that will leave us time to also introduce Mark Primiano in, are you in Manhattan, Kansas?
Yep.
Working with animals and such.
That is a very accurate and concise description.
I like to throw the "and such" kind of covers anything that I might not have hit with the animal part.
It really does.
So, the White Sox have managed to actually win games of late, and they actually managed to win games against quality opponents.
I think the worst team they played since beginning of June was the Rangers, who were like a couple games under 500. And if memory serves, unless like the Rays, I guess the Rays dipped under 500 today. But other than that, like everybody is a winning team.
Yeah, you got Houston, Detroit, Tampa, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Minnesota.
And they got 10 more games against all winning teams.
Yeah.
After beating Toronto today. So it's been basically something I was saying when like the first 2 months happened is like you had this really like milquetoast start, and now if you're not any good, you're really going to get your ass kicked for the next month and a half. Like this is not the time where they're going to be like they're going to get things together and win a bunch of games. Like no, if they were even the team we thought they were, they'd probably go 500 over the stretch.
Well, by virtue of an awesome stretch of pitching, they've managed to not get embarrassed and win these games, yet they still haven't really shown any propensity towards scoring runs on the regular.
Also, they went like 10-16 in June, so I don't know.
Yeah.
There's only so much headway they made.
A 385 win percentage in June pretty much put them behind 8-ball for the rest of the season. This month so far is the first month, granted it's only been 7 games, that the White Sox have scored more runs than they've allowed all season. And they're only doing so by 2.
Well, I'm really glad we're recording this right now, then.
Yeah. They are 5-2, and they have gone, scored 24 runs and given up 22.
So they're not good.
No, no. I mean, you look at what their Pythagorean win-loss record right now should be, is 32-50. We're somehow outplaying ourselves, and we're 38-44.
Oh, the wonders of Robin Ventura, of course.
He's a miraculous manager, a regular Ron Garden hire.
Yeah, I mean, I guess even with, like, the perfect world projection of who we think the Sox are, I guess their model for winning going forward would just be, like, crazy great pitching and, like, maybe not the league worst offense.
Well, they have managed to go, I forget what the date range is. I saw Jeff Sullivan tweet something about the Sox being at an even war somewhere. I don't know if that's like for the month of July.
It is. It was for the month. I think it was for the month of June.
Okay.
But that can't be right.
That,
so it's got to be July, but yeah.
Which means they're getting, they're way better than they were. Simply by not being in the negative.
Not being the worst thing on the planet.
Well, in addition to the pitching, which is amazing, like, even, you can't even really explain how great every pitcher outside of John Danks has really been start to start. And then a couple hiccups from Rodon, of course. But we're actually seeing consistent things out of Melky Cabrera and Adam Eaton, which is nice since they're, you know, toward the top of the lineup and getting as many at-bats as possible in a game.
Yeah.
And the, you know, slappy two-hitter Jose Abreu has been pretty productive as well.
Yeah, I want to be mad at Jose Abreu, but it's like,
he's bat handling.
He's fine. He's just not amazing.
I mean, I haven't seen such a great bat handler for the White Sox since Tadahito Iguchi.
That guy could handle a bat.
That man could handle a bat.
He's actually still handling bats in his private life.
Yeah, he's, what, a first baseman now?
Something like that.
Which just cracks me up because I'm imagining him playing first base, and he was, like, maybe 5'8".
I mean, he had Brent Lillovich play first base for long periods of time in 2011.
Yeah, and it was amazing.
How tall is Gillespie? He fills in over there every now and then.
I think he's 6 feet.
He's got to be 6 foot.
It teaches the team discipline to throw to a tiny target.
Yeah. It It's very, very... It increases your focus. According to Baseball Reference, Gooch is 5'10", so he's probably 5'7".
Is that his actual nickname?
Well, you could call him Tad, like it says, but I mean, that... I think Gooch is more fun.
At the risk of, like, raining on people's parade, the Sox, I guess, made up a game and a half, or two games in the... I think it's a game and a half in the race to the second wild card, and are still behind eight teams for that final slot. So it means, like, it's not just a situation where you have to play six games better than the Twins, but you have to play that much better than this entire huge crop of clubs. I don't have the math, like, immediately available to me, but the kind of the odds of doing that are, I'm going to go ahead with infinitesimally small.
They're pretty damn tiny.
The pace of this is, like, they have to basically play 700-plus ball for 10 to 12-game stretches four more times, and then we can talk about how close they are, not even that they're at the top, which is impossible. Not impossible, but extremely unlikely.
Even with Alex Gordon getting hurt, that doesn't... It's one of those where, like, if we were where the Twins or Detroit were, it'd be like, wow, that's a game-changer.
Make a stupid trade, Twins! You know you want to do
like,
it!
Like, maybe we can jump. But nope, we're just sitting here like, cool, who wants Samardzija?
Pretty sure the Twins want to fence Byron Buxton for a closer, because they can smell the playoffs. Every now and then I see, like, Wilson Ramos do something good for the Nationals and laugh. Because Matt Kuchar is not in baseball anymore.
Yeah, that trade still makes me laugh.
Well, in order for the pitching staff to have done what they've done, we've also had to have experienced a stretch of good starts from Jeff Samardzija, which he's putting together one after another, each better than the last, it seems.
Yeah, I guess, like, if he wasn't going to, like, pitch extremely super well in the first half to the point where someone, like, gave up their, like, top 10 global prospect for him, like, happened last year, he could at least do what he's doing now and become the prize of, like, the middle-class trade market.
Well, I mean, realistically, yeah, he's kind of like middle class, but I look at it as, other than Cole Hamels, what pitcher is there that's going to be available that you're just like, man, I'd much rather have?
The shelf goes, well, there's Cueto, and then there's Scott Kazmir, but Cueto's going to be pretty
hurt again.
Yeah, well, they said he'd be fine. He was like a precautionary, but who knows about that.
Yeah, and they said I would graduate vet school in 4 years. People lie.
How long did that take you, Mark?
Who said that?
I'm almost done. I'm closer than I've ever been.
It's been a good decade, though.
Sometimes you take, like, 7 years of college.
When people compare durable pitchers to horses, you just get, like, viscerally upset?
I wouldn't say viscerally, but I just want to be like, I don't think you got... Well, a workhorse is different than just, like, a random-ass pasture potato, which is just the fat horse that someone has in their yard. But, yeah, horses are the worst.
I've got a two-part horse question for you.
I will answer it the best I can.
Why do people put the hood mask things on horses? And the second part is, should we be doing that to John Danks?
Like the hood mask or the blinders?
Yeah,
blinders.
You're talking about blinders or, like, the clan horses?
The blinders.
Okay, well, blinders are so that they don't get distracted by the things that are happening around them, because horses have 350-degree field of vision.
Is that good?
That's, well, there's 360 almost, degrees in a circle.
Almost complete.
Yeah, they can see everything except, like, their tail. They can see almost the entire world around them except, like, immediately behind their butt.
That's a fun fact.
And
I didn't know that.
They are prey species, so they are terrified of everything.
What is their natural predator?
Anything bigger than them that can eat them.
It's like a dinosaur?
Exactly like a dinosaur. So no, you're thinking for like their natural predator, you would have like bear, depends on the continent. Here you would have bears, wolves, cougars. If you go to Africa, if we're talking zebras, because they're equids as well, lions, jackals, basically any predator that is bigger than 100 pounds, or at least strong.
Does anyone have video of this shit? A freaking bear eating a horse? This would be amazing.
Seeing as Duolingo taught me oso contra caballo as one of my Spanish phrases, I think it happens. That means horse versus bear, for those that don't speak Spanish.
So, before we get any longer into this, Mark, you have written some of the most important trade deadline White Sox fan fiction of the past decade.
Oh, the choose-your-own-adventure.
Where do you see this trade deadline going for the Sox?
I would really like to see them finally just bite the bullet and go, hey, we're not going to make it, because we're not going to make it to the playoffs. We're 38-44 right now. We're performing over our heads. And that June pretty much killed the season. Yeah. So what I would really, really like to see is...
So there are varying degrees of that, because some people talk about, like, oh, they're not that good, you need to trade, you know, like what's available, like Samardzija, and then there's the crazy people who say, like, well, if you're trading, you need to do a complete teardown of the organization, trade Sale and Abreu and Jerry Reinsdorf.
I mean, you need to do the complete strip down, because what you have, even if you get rid of some, if you don't trade Samardzija, all right, you're battling how many other teams to keep him here? When, yeah, he seems to like Chicago, it's where he's from, he grew up cheering for the Sox, but there's other teams that are going to need pitching and overpay out the ass for it this winter. That's just what happens every winter. So you either hold on to him and get what would probably wind up being, I don't know, like the 36th pick in the draft, or you send him away for something else.
I feel like with Samardzija, as hard as he's fought to get the free agency, or as steadfast as he's been, he's not taking a hometown discount when he
gets not going to. And I'd rather just trade him away, because while he's not a bad pitcher, he's not the pitcher that his season stats currently say he is. I don't want to pay him what he's going to get on the open market. He's going to be 31, and yeah, he doesn't have the mileage on his arm, thanks to the Cubs' weird let's use you as a reliever forever strategy, but I don't want to wind up paying over $100 million to keep him.
How much weight are we supposed to put the whole mileage on his arm thing? Because, like, the thing he wasn't doing when he was wasn't pitching all the time was playing Division I college football, which is not historically great for your body.
That's also not requiring that ridiculous shoulder arm strain that just pitching is.
Yeah, but there are people spearing themselves into your shoulder.
Yeah, it's... Well, that, and I mean, there's the fact that every time you go out there, you are one pitch away from your arm just going, I don't like this anymore, and exploding, because you are doing a movement that is not natural. And those are bad for you. But, yeah, I want him traded. They'll get something at least decent for him. They're not going to get a top 10 prospect like the A's gave up, because that was for a year and a half of him and another pitcher. That was a massive package. We have nothing else to really combine with him. I don't get the let's just strip everything down, because, all right, so Samardzija, even if they don't trade him and just he walks, the top three of the rotation next year is Sale, Quintana, Rodon.
Yeah, shifting your window down a year or two makes a lot more sense than shifting your window to, I don't know.
Yeah, because, like, you still do have Abreu, and, yeah, the rest of the offense, not that great, but Adam Eaton is going to at least be a league average hitter that plays great defense, or at least good defense, and there's value there because he's locked up forever, and then there's a bunch of holes pretty much everywhere else. But I just don't see the whole strip it down into nothing. They're not where the Phillies were at when they hit that crossroads of, all right, what did we do, and just said, fuck, let's keep going, and are now the modern Phillies.
Well, sure, if they go ahead and extend Jose Abreu for, like, you know, 6 or 7 years after his contract ends type of thing from, you know, right now and things like that, they're not going to bury themselves the way the Phillies did. They really just need to retool that infield entirely outside of Abreu.
Yeah.
Which, building an entire infield is kind of a lot to ask.
Oh, especially because we have not been able to develop a third baseman since Joe Creedy, and we haven't been able to develop a second baseman since Ray Durham. Like, we've had good ones, but we didn't develop Iguchi.
Well, that would be the case for shortstop as well, then, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, you've got, I guess we didn't develop Valentin, but I still always think of him as ours.
He played for the Brewers for like several years.
Yeah, he was there a while.
No, that's why I said we didn't develop him. It's just one of those where it's just like, I always am just like, yeah, Jose Valentin, he was a White Sox.
Are the Sox responsible for D'Angelo Jimenez?
And Danny Rashar?
I wasn't going to count Danny.
Talking responsibility or blame here.
Yeah. They're not responsible for Jimenez. Wasn't he, like, with Oakland and Cincinnati before us?
I thought he left to Cincinnati. We gave Willie Harris his best chance at a full-time job.
They really did. And, oh no, Washington. He had a full-time job with the Nats, didn't he?
It looks like he never got more than 420 plate appearances, which...
That's
he was a 3-1 player in 2008. I feel betrayed.
I like that we just cannot stay on topic here.
That's typical. Something I almost entered in here. Did anyone read the BP 2017 articles?
No, I against your suggestion to not look for reasons of depression, I did poke around a little bit, and I saw like one thing from Mao was like a prospect update, and basically just saying, oh, like, Sox still stink at this, and so I stopped looking.
It was like, reading those were like the scenes in Terminator where they look ahead to, like, what's going on in the future that they sent the Terminator back from.
So Skynet and all that?
Pretty much. Like, it was, like, really, really awful, but also kind of, like, believable. Like, the Sox are 20 games under 500 in, like, July 2017. And Sale and Rodon are threatening to set a record for, like, most strikeouts and getting second starts between two pitchers. Like, they're legitimately awesome, but the team is just terrible around them. Micker Adolfo is 20 years old, and his hit tool has not developed.
That's totally going to become true, too. That's just...
They just traded Jose Quintana for kind of, like, a low-ceiling infielder and a pitching prospect.
Are you trying to make everyone that listens to this depressed?
It was really, like, compelling stuff. What else? There was no mention of Jose Abreu. It felt too real. The only thing that crazy they did is, like, they gave Mike Trout a shoulder injury that made him good anymore.
Bastards.
Oh, and the Cubs were like the second best team in baseball. That was the other part.
Where did they finally get the pitching?
I don't know. They probably signed John Danks and he became a 20-game winner.
Sounds about right. I have the 2015 White Sox page up on BR, and just that stretch of like top 12 by WAR, and it's just all the faces staring at me, and it gets unnerving, especially because Adam LaRoche... is just, his picture on there is just terrifying. Melky Cabrera looks scared, like someone's like, hey, you're playing for the White Sox now, and he's like, what?
Yeah, all of Cabrera's stock photos look like that. That's ridiculous.
Do you remember the preseason ads for LaRoche?
Yeah, those were terrible.
They were really menacing. He's like, the locker room, and he's saying, like,
do you know who I am?
And they're like,
yeah.
No, but you're really scary.
I'd rather not, you take.
That
giant
is the tone and the words somebody says before they kill you because they were paid to do so.
It's like, no, you're kind of a journeyman first baseman that no one's familiar with, and you just seem kind of unfriendly.
Yeah, you bounce from team to team. I know your brother was supposed to be good, but wound up not being good.
Maybe the White Sox should, like, field a separate minor league team that's entirely brothers of current major leaguers.
On that top 12 WAR list for 2015, Jake Patrichka and Zach Duke are ahead of any White Sox position player except for Jose Abreu.
Yeah, it's really depressing. You have that stretch from position 5 through 7, and it's just relief pitchers. And then 8 is the DH. It's like, damn it, guys. Ugh. I note that Avisail Garcia, despite having the second highest OPS plus, cannot crack the top 12.
Do we think he's any good?
No, I don't.
You've been strong on the idea that he's not any good.
There's nothing there that, like, things he has going for him. He's young.
He's big. He's really strong.
He's big, but he doesn't he doesn't pull the ball.
Yeah, he doesn't do the things you're supposed to do when you're big, but being big is still something you're
going for. Wow, 6'4", 240? Like, man, he should have, like, a billion home runs, and he has 7.
He hits them all at once, too.
Yeah, in 73 games, he has just as many home runs as he had last year in 46. Just ahead of Adam Eaton's.
Oh, yeah, it's that, too. It's going to be sad when Eaton laps the entire field in home runs.
Hell, Eaton's about to pass LaRoche and on OPS as well, and it's like, this is so depressing.
Avisail had 4 hits Wednesday night, and I wrote something negative about him for this morning.
When I found out he was the return in that trade, I mean, it's better because we've got Montas, and he'll at worst become a very good relief pitcher, provided, you know, he doesn't have his arm fall off, which I guess would always be the worst case scenario, but it was like, couldn't we have gotten Iglesias? Like,
I remember we initially thought we were going to get Iglesias, and I don't know, we were full of dread. I mean, does anyone think Iglesias would have actually hit with the White Sox?
Yeah, the dread was that weird propped up batting average he had in Boston, but yeah, we probably would have murdered him.
But do we really think Garcia's going to?
No, but he hit some cool dingers. We had some fun times.
Like, Garcia is going to be maybe around a league average bat that will get slower every year and already can't play defense.
Like, that was the thing last night. Like, the way he just kind of, like, crazily backpedaled into the fence, I was just like, this guy is going to need to hit to ever be worth anything.
For being an athletic guy, he is the most unathletic-looking person.
Because with Iglesias, the worst-case scenario is going to be like, all right, he's what Lurie Garcia was supposed to be. And you can always live with, like, all right, guy with really good defensive shortstop with, like, a 75 to 80 OPS plus, that's still going to get you 2 wins above replacement. Like, that's still valuable.
It's making you the best player on the White Sox right now.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we have Avisail Garcia, who has been worth negative 0.6 wins above replacement for his career, and over 655 plate appearances with the White Sox, negative 0.2.
Let's not forget that J.B. Wendelken has 48 strikeouts and 39 innings in Double A this year. Talking about that trade return. People forget about J.B.
I don't know who he is.
That's what
they
I said last time.
They got 4 guys for that. They got 4 guys for PB. They got Garcia, they got Montas, they got Cluey Louie, and they got J.B. Wendelken.
I remember Cluey Louie, but yeah, that other one, I think you're just making up names. Someone just went on Baseball Reference and was like, yeah, I'll just sneak a name into this trade.
He does sound like an outside of the park or out of the park name, but he is a real person.
Or when you would play MVP 2005 too long and it had to invent players and you're like, that's not a name.
The cobble together of old names. Rafael Sosa. Wendelken is listed at 6'1", 235, so probably not the greatest athlete, but another live arm floating around.
No,
you really wanted Jose Iglesias that bad?
I wanted him more than I wanted Avisail Garcia. Garcia's only standout tool at that time was, boy, he sure hits for a good average, which, out of all of the tools to have, is my least favorite for a minor league prospect to have when they show nothing else.
Your least favorite tool for them to have is what?
If they're only going to have one of the 5 tools, that is probably my least favorite one to have. Because hitting for average, if you have no on-base skills, is worthless.
Worthless.
And that's what he is. Like, we've got a guy who will hit the most hollow 290 ever. And until he learns to actually start pulling balls or at least laying off anything on the outside half of the plate, which, when is the last time the White Sox were able to teach a young hitter to do something like that?
Well, that's kind of his issue. He can spray balls on the outer half, and he falls in love with that.
Yeah.
And then you can just pitch him outside that entire time and avoid any real damage.
Yeah, yep. It was a selling point in the acquisition is because, you know, everyone was doing the whole mini Mickey or whatever they were calling him. And, you know, he obviously doesn't have that same power to take those pitches over the right field wall like Miguel Cabrera does. So he also can't punish the mistakes when they do float inside.
And he also doesn't have Cabrera's eye.
Who does?
Miguel Cabrera. Mike Trout.
We have to find a way to get through one of these podcasts without just kind of like silently being sad about the fate of this team.
I don't think that's going to be possible.
It'll be a while.
Yeah, the team is bad. I cheer for mostly bad teams.
Carson Fulmer is going to be an all-star third baseman somehow. You just watch.
Well, he'll be
the fourth great pitcher in this rotation, full of ones and twos, and one fielder behind him that can hit. None of whom can play defense.
Scouts say Adam LaRoche is a pretty good defender at first.
Until his back's done with him.
At 36 years of age.
Yeah, I mean, if there's any NL teams that are in dire need of a first baseman, I'm looking at you, St. Louis, I wouldn't be opposed to sending him out.
Since the Sox can't develop hitting, should they be looking for something MLB ready and possibly a decent positional starter in return for Samardzija? And is such a thing acquirable?
I don't know if it is acquirable, and that's the most frustrating thing, because it would have to be basically a guy whose plateau is basically a 2 WAR guy, because no one's going to give up anything amazing for half a season of Samardzija.
And anybody that's hard up for Samardzija's pitching anyways isn't going to give up a ready player, because they're going to be using that player for the playoff push.
What about the Blue Jays, who are presumably stacked on offense?
So let's see. Let's look at teams that, I mean...
they can get Danny Valencia.
Ugh. You be quiet. You look, and there are teams that are in pretty dire need of pitching that are going to be making the playoffs, but that's basically the best hope, is one of those teams gets foolish and is just, we need this. We basically need old George Steinbrenner back.
Aren't the Yankees supposed to be, aren't the current Steinbrenner supposed to be worse than George? I guess they care less.
He was peerless. I mean, there's that spot in Moneyball where he watched Raul Mondesi throw one of his runners out and immediately demanded that he trades for Raul Mondesi. Like, I want that back, where, like, we could have...
Is that not how Kenny operates?
When Aaron Rowand had that great series in New York, and then out of nowhere, there's all these rumors about, like, Yankees need Aaron Rowand in center field. I want stuff like that to happen again.
The Orioles don't really need Jonathan Scope, do they?
No, they don't need anything good.
I think they know that.
Yeah. God, Toronto really, really needs pitching. And that would just make me so happy if we could take anything good from them.
Do they want to give up, like, Max Pentecost or something?
Yeah, broken. Who doesn't want a broken catcher that can't hit?
He's like Scott Hedevert.
Yeah, we could turn him into a first baseman. That would be okay-ish.
What a coup. Speaking of what I'm going to go ahead and classify as an awful development, Hawk Harrelson appears to really be on Twitter now. Does that mean we can't be on Twitter? Because we've been kind of using Twitter to talk about Hawk Harrelson.
I don't know if it's worse that Hawk Harrelson himself is actually going to be tweeting things out, or if the sudden saturation of Hawk Harrelson jokes that just invaded Twitter this afternoon is worse.
What about the Hawk parody accounts? What the hell happens to them? This is an entire class of people who are now out on their ass.
Well, Tom Fornelli got out of the game ahead of everyone else.
Yeah, but even he couldn't have seen this disaster coming.
Tide. I mean, how many good parody accounts are there out there, especially White Sox parody accounts?
None.
Exactly.
But still, these are humans. Now what are they going to do?
Annoy their loved ones in real life, I guess. I don't know what kind of person wants to just run a shitty parody account. Like, Tom literally ran the only parody account I ever actually thought was funny.
He also runs, like, the only parody account that, like, seemed like it was geared towards trying to recreate some semblance of the person who's parodying.
Yeah,
not just
instead
like,
of just being like, this is a foul-mouthed version of this one.
Yeah, that is definitely the MO.
Yeah, because you're just like, I banned a not Rick Hahn from following me because he would just like talk. He would just quote retweet my tweets and just try to say things he thought were funny. I was like, nope, I'm done with this. You're done. Or you've got the not Kenny Williams guy who, you know, if he just got rid of that whole, I'm a Kenny Williams parody account, wouldn't be that bad of a follow. But it's like, you just aren't committed to it. Change your name, man.
I thought Steve Stone was already on Twitter.
Isn't he? Wasn't he?
I thought that Stone baseball account was him.
It must not have been.
Or now they clearly just told both of them they're joining Twitter today.
Yeah, and then the broadcast, they were, like, explaining why it's a good thing for Twitter and how important Twitter is. Like, they definitely, somebody was in their ear with that shit.
Like, there's a memo today in their offices, like, attention all, Twitter is important.
Oh, man. And that kind of terrifies me, because, like, what other departments of the White Sox are like that, where it's like, ah, crap, something from 2010 that we've missed out on.
Like, someone read an article in the Tribune today and, like, came across it like, holy shit.
What's this little thing with the at symbol underneath the byline?
The thing that's been there for 5 years?
Yes, that one.
It's funny that they did roll out their, like, huge social media push today for a Thursday day game getaway.
a game I didn't even realize was happening until it was over.
I'm assuming on a Thursday, roll out everything.
I got back from a farm call and was looking at, what time do the Sox play today? Well, they won.
I'm assuming the timing of this was just trying to push in whatever they could. They drum up the excitement for the Crosstown Cup series.
It's the worst week of the year!
I am seriously considering boycotting Twitter for the entirety of the weekend because I just can't watch people go back and forth with the nonsense.
This was not a fun time to be alive before the Cubs were pretty much guaranteed to kick the crap out of the White Sox all week.
Yeah.
Now they are!
Yeah, it's weird being on the other side of this dynamic, where it's just like, shit, we're the bad team now.
We're hopelessly incompetent.
We have no prospects of any nature.
Our playoff competition window is actually, shattered, and every time we touch it, our finger...
We just lose another finger, like we're Jason Pierre-Paul.
I guess there's going to be a sale start mixed in, so there'll be like one night where we feel invincible.
That'll be nice.
But, yeah, this isn't like... This brings out the worst in everybody. This is going to bring out tons of, like, Theo Epstein superiority chest beating from the Cubs fan base. And if they have any night games, someone's probably going to die. So,
yeah. Then you get the meatheads from both sides who rant that, no, this is still super important. And then you have their polar opposite that says, this is less important than a game against the Padres in April. Well, no, it's really not. If anything, it would be just as important as that game against the Padres in April. Like, you can try to... I don't care for the rivalry. It stopped really being a thing to me around the time, probably when I turned 20. It was just like, this isn't fun to go to. You got people that are just way too drunk and trying to be funny, and they're not.
When I was, like, 16, I was kind of transfixed by it because I just never seen bigger fights.
Yeah.
And there was something exciting about seeing drunk people chase people down the street with the potential of murdering them. But now, it's kind of a hassle.
There's few things to me that are sadder than those guys that are in, like, their 30s that still want to get into fights. And it's like, you have, like, a 4-year-old daughter at home. Why are you going to baseball games looking to get into a fight? How sad is your life?
Well, you can't fight your 4-year-old daughter.
You can't fight your 4-year-old daughter, but, like, how mad are you at your life that, like, the thing you look forward to the most each year is 6 baseball games against the other team in your city because you get to just be a raging jackass to strangers?
So the Saturday matchup is Sale versus Lester. I'm sure that would not be seen as a referendum on the future of either franchise.
I think that the White Sox will trade Sale for Lester. Because that would be good.
I, hmm. I don't know.
No, it's going to happen. I've read it on interwebs.
Wait, really?
No.
Like, there are a lot of bad trade proposals out there. If the Sox beat Lester and then Quintana beats Jake Arrieta somehow on Sunday, we should definitely go full steam ahead with saying Jose Quintana is better than John Lester on Monday. Yep.
We need to just trumpet Ethan's words. Just we will carry him around and he will just yell it as loud as he can.
Ethan's not afraid to die.
I know. He's young.
He sees Cubs Twitter, like, you know, this crazy, violent, murderous band roaming across the countryside, and he, like, says, what if I threw a rock at them as they drove past?
What happened? Just, like, quietly trying to walk by and just be like, let's not get involved in this. And he's like, hey, here's firecrackers, everyone.
It's admirable. That's why he's on the stack.
I'm launching these firecrackers out of a tuba. Which is just dangerous, and I don't think it would actually work.
Out of a tuba? Probably not. I mean, this doesn't seem like your area of expertise.
Science is my area of expertise, good sir. I am a science man.
Have you ever lifted anything out of a tuba? Have you ever played an instrument with explosives in it?
I was a drummer in band for 4 years.
High school?
No, I quit the first day of high school, so 5th grade through junior high.
So you're talking about you were a drummer when you were 11?
Yes.
This is a credential you're still bringing up.
Well, he asked if I'd ever played an instrument.
Over 15 years late.
I was asked if I'd ever played an instrument. I have.
Glad we got to the bottom of this one.
This is why people listen to this podcast.
I don't know if we can really claim that they do.
Well, not with that attitude.
Tyler Colvin and Micah Johnson just hit back-to-back home runs for the Charlotte Knights.
Call them up!
Do you pre-arb extend both of them?
I think only if we can get Tyler Colvin like a bat-proof suit of armor so he doesn't get stabbed again.
Should the White Sox bring up Tyler Colvin solely to play him against the Cubs?
Yes.
Do you remember like the Tyler Colvin is like the future hype?
Yes, and who was the other one? Jake LaHare?
Brian LaHare?
Brian LaHare, there you go. Who, Jake Fox? Was that the other one?
I think it was Jake Fox, because Brian LaHare was back when, like, Theo had already taken over at that point. It was already, like, we're playing the long game, had overtaken the discussion.
It was a similar, just had a hot April. And actually, Jake Fox's hot April wasn't even with the Cubs, was it? Wasn't it with the Orioles?
Well, that was spring training. He hit, like, 9 home runs in spring training one year.
LaHare had that April where he was just ripping the ball, and then he, like, disappeared really, really quickly.
He made the All-Star team!
But he still was done by the end of April. There's no reason he should even have made the All-Star team.
He still had, like, an 830 OPS by the time the All-Star game rolled around.
Yeah, but that was back when, like, that was average.
My primary memory of him on the All-Star game was they showed that video of, like, Chipper Jones on his, like, last All-Star game addressing the locker room. And LaHare was the only guy who had to sit on the floor because they were out of seats.
No, Brian. This chair's for winners.
And I just said something snarky about him sitting on the floor. And that was probably like my most retweeted tweet for like 2 years. I don't think Cubs Twitter has ever forgiven me.
How dare you point out that Emperor was not wearing clothes.
Speaking of AAA, Eric Johnson starting the All-Star game next week, despite the fact he has not pitched since June.
I didn't realize he hadn't pitched since June. Well, that's only 9 days.
They've been resting him, like June 26th, something crazy.
For the All-Star game?
That's right. They canceled his start, that's right.
Have you ever seen a AAA All-Star?
I don't know that I want to. How depressing
is it?
It's
some dark shit.
Is it all the Quad A guys? That sounds awful.
Here are two All-Stars who are on Eric Johnson's team. You might remember the names. Gregory Infante.
Hey.
And who is the other White Sox arm? I just talked about this.
Tyler Colvin?
No. Steve Clevenger is on the AAA All-Star.
Oh, my God.
As well as Irving Falou.
This is like running into someone that you worked with in high school, and they're a waiter when you go home. And they're just like, oh, man, how is life? And you're like, oh, things are really good. I'm doing this, I'm doing this. You're like, what are you up to? And they're like, well, I'm working here. And it's like, well, that conversation just died.
Matt Davidson, despite the fact, like, really no one has hope of him, like, being a major leaguer, is, like, the starting DH for the International League All-Star team.
He's actually the only guy down there that is worth what people say, well, bring this guy up, bring that guy up. He's probably the only one, well, non-pitching addition, I guess, that is worth just getting a shot to.
I don't know if he is. His stats are real bad.
Well, considering how bad everything else is.
Starting DH. Like, he has a 739 OPS. How is he the starting DH?
Dingers.
He doesn't even have that many dingers.
He's 13 is a ton for AAA, apparently.
God, the minors make no sense.
So the other White Sox arm that you might remember is Yan Marinas. The trade return for Ozzie Guillen.
Yeah.
Is an all-star for the Durham Bulls.
From the Johnny Peralta School of Spelling.
Other all-stars, Austin Romine. Irving Falou. Catcher. Yes, the catcher. Trace Thompson's an all-star.
Really?
I feel like Trace Thompson's, like, still a semi-prospect, so there's, like, no way he was not going to be an all-star.
Yeah. I mean, his brother did just win a championship.
It's got to be, like, awkward conversations.
You're like, Trace, how are things going? I'm an all-star. And Clay just stares at his ring.
And his 80 minutes max contract. There's a lot of old dudes on this roster.
Yeah, that's what a AAA All-Star game is. It's guys that haven't given up yet, which makes it bonus sad.
Is Buck Farmer going to be able to play in the AAA All-Star game, or the Tigers going to keep calling him up for spot starts?
They must ruin his dreams.
Does he get mad about that? You could be in an All-Star game, or you could be getting shelled for 8 runs in the majors.
Buck Farmer is the most, like, AAA All-Star name possible. That is a man who is a AAA lifer. Like,
that's the name of a guy you're calling up to fill some innings.
Yeah, or the name of a guy who came up with a very, very creative welfare scheme.
I don't get it.
He farms dollars.
See, like, the guy on those ads about secret government programs?
No, he's not Matt Lesko.
With the suit that's covered in question marks?
That's Matt Lesko.
The guy has a name?
Yes. I saw him one time at an SEO conference.
At a Panera? Was he wearing a suit?
He was.
I don't think he has other clothes.
You'd think he'd be able to afford them with all his extra money.
I used to swim with a guy named Matt Lesko, and that kid's a giant burnout. You know, he should get a question mark suit, so he too can be like the Riddler and save us money somehow.
I think we've gone through everything we could say.
Yeah, usually when you start talking about Matt Lesko, it's a pretty good time to be like, okay, we should all go to bed.
All right, so I'd say, yeah, that's about it.
If only, screw it.